Lord God, we lift up this morning's message. May it touch our hearts, may it speak clearly to our souls, that we may come to understand in a deeper and more profound way your eternal and undying love for us and for all of the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
Halloween is a very ancient festival. It was known as Samhain to the Celts, the festival of the dead. Cattle at this time were brought back from their summer pastures and livestock were slaughtered for the winter. Bonfires and lanterns would be lit and the spirits had to be propitiated so that the people and their livestock would survive the winter. Like most major feasts in ancient calendars, Samhain was a day of transition, in this case marking the end of the harvest season and the beginning of the time of darkness. It was a time of concern. In ancient communities which did not have the safety nets or resources we have now, a bad winter, a bad harvest, or a delayed spring could be catastrophic. They knew something had to be done to calm supernatural disfavor. It was necessary to seek help from friendly spirits and from one's ancestors who were already in that realm. Many ancients, not just the Celts, believed that at this time of the year, the veil between this world and the next was at its thinnest. That made it easier for us to communicate with those, the spirits of the dead and other supernatural entities who were on the other side, who were part of that realm of darkness. But on the other hand, it also made it easier for them to trouble us if we didn't treat them right. Halloween and All Saints' Day both recall these ancient beliefs which have persisted for thousands and thousands of years. Originally, All Saints' Day was part of a three-day medieval Christian festival that began on All Hallows' Eve, which we now know as Halloween, and ended on All Souls' Day, which was November 2nd. All Saints' Day, which was right in the middle, was a joint celebration for all the saints of the church, since there were far more saints than there were feast days available. If you have 500 saints, you can't have just one feast day for them each a year. And All Souls' Day was the day immediately after. It was the day when we commemorated and remembered those who had died in the recent past. Most Protestant churches have either merged these 3 days into a single one-day celebration, which we now know as All Saints' Day, or else they ignore the festival completely, like the old Calvinists did, disdaining the holiday, as they did all religious holidays, as being too popish in nature. But the tie that links Halloween and All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day together is the same ancient belief that those Celts had, that the veil between this world and the next is at its thinnest at this time of year. It was a day very appropriate for seeking to calm our fears and uncertainties in this world by reaching out to the next, as the 3 days in the medieval Christian festival each did in their own unique ways. I want to reflect for a moment on my last sermon given about a month ago, where I spoke on the concept of belief. At the time, I pointed out that as Christians, we often think of believing as a goal, of having a firm, unshakable commitment to the absolute truth of God. But I argued that belief is actually a process, a journey with God, not a journey to God. Belief is not something we achieve. It's not a goal. Belief is something we do. We don't know where belief will take us in our journey through life, but we do know where we're going to end up. The point of this morning's reading from Revelation, to me, is similar. We're not certain what road we'll follow to get to the end, but that we'll get to the end is certain. And we see the author of the Revelation telling us of God's plan for the end and beyond, with chapter upon chapter of disasters and plagues and catastrophic judgments of all sorts that destroy all the heavens and all the earth. But then, here in chapter 21, we are told there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, God is already there at the end, just as God is at the beginning. John quotes a loud voice from that throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them." And then the quote ends with, "Death will be no more, and mourning and crying and pain will be no more." And then the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Genesis says that we came from God in the beginning. And now, in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, we are told that we will be with God again in the end. In fact, it says God is already making things all new. The process is going on right now, here, in the present. So not only will God be with us in the end, but the end times kingdom of God that John foresaw is already being built all around us and within us, right here and right now. And so we come back to Halloween and All Saints Day. You know, in ancient times, Christians were seen as a little odd, even foolish. In the eyes of the ancients, they were weird because everyone was scared of death. People didn't go into or near graveyards unless they absolutely had to. They avoided them at all costs. Being in the presence of death was a scary thing. Most believed the world of the dead was a shadowy, gray, uninteresting place, an eternity of nothing, or maybe torment. But Christians obsessed over death, even welcomed and rejoiced in it. They met in the catacombs, right among the dead bodies. They built their churches in graveyards, and even in later centuries, buried their dead right inside of the church, or right next to it. How many old churches do you know of with old graveyards right around them? Even the famous Basilica of St. Peter in Rome is built on top of an old Roman graveyard. Christians handled the bones of the dead, made relics out of them, seeing them as objects of veneration, not fear. Many even welcomed the chance to become martyrs. Death was no longer something to fear. Death was the beginning of something better. So to Christians, the veil of death, that dark, impenetrable horizon that marks the end of the journey of all of our lives in this world, is not a fearful boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead. It isn't the end. Yes, the dead do not return, yes, or yet, but there is nothing to fear. As Christians, we know that our journey will require us to travel through the valley of the shadow of death during our lives, but then we go beyond into the realm of death itself. But Jesus has returned, has shown us that God's love, the undying and uncompromising love of our Creator, the Creator of all that is, including time itself, is a love that is more than sufficient to pierce the veil that separates these two worlds. I don't see the book of Revelation as a roadmap of exactly what will happen before the world ends. To me, rather, it's a richly symbolic, metaphorical, colorful, even lurid dream of those who are oppressed. A message of hope for those who saw nothing but the promise of death and despair in their futures in this world. In his revelation, John reveals the true promise of God, the promise that not even death can prevent God from carrying us into eternity, welcoming us into a never-ending kingdom where death is no more, where mourning and crying and pain are no more. A kingdom being built here and now, a kingdom where the wall between the here and the hereafter is no more. God is already doing the work. We know we do not need to make vows or sacrifices, as our ancestors did, to make it happen. Yes, those we love have gone on ahead of us. And on this day, we remember them, remember the love, relive the memories, feeling again the goodness, the joy, sometimes the pain, the good times and the bad that were in their lives on this earth as much as all of that is also in ours. But they have gone beyond that horizon which we have not yet crossed. A horizon we know we will have to cross someday too. A horizon that will cease to exist once God's plan is complete. We don't know how we'll get there, nor when, but we will. And when we do, we will be welcomed into the arms of our loving God, receiving water, says John, as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And the tears in our eyes will be wiped away forevermore. Solomon says it is a place where no torment will ever again touch us. And in this world's future, we'll be remembered too, as those who came before us are being commemorated here this day, and as we will in turn be commemorated in time to come. Even when human memory fades, and the name on our gravestone erodes away, and our face is remembered for the last time, as will inevitably happen, we still will not be forgotten, because the love that is so deeply a part of God's nature can never be set aside and will never be forgotten. It is a love that is destined to embrace each of us for all eternity. So rejoice, for God's kingdom is already here within us and is being made a reality for all through the work of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice that the barrier that separates us from those whom we love is only temporary. God's plan to forever eliminate the barriers that separate us from each other and from God is a plan that is already being enacted, and we are promised that it will be completed out of God's love for us. Amen.